Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Think Big Radio listeners. Big here again, helping you guys get what you need to get started. Realty, business, and financial. This is the radio show for you. First of all, tonight we have a special guest all the way from Florida, Salerno, Port Salerno, Florida. He's going to help you guys out, teaching you about life coaching. Pastor Robert L. Carpenter. Pastor, are you on?
I am here. Glad to be here.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, where you're at?
Well, I was born in Manhattan, New York, but I moved to Florida at a very early age, and I was reared in a little fisherman's town called Port Salerno, Florida. It's about 30 minutes north of West Palm Beach. And, however, currently now I live in Orlando, but I was raised in the church, and my parents were educators, and mother was a principal for 20, 30 years, something like that. I don't even remember. And so I've always had a strong family presence and family background. I'm very musically inclined. From the age of 4, I've been playing drums, I played piano, sing, all of that stuff. So I did all of that going through as I matriculated through school. And then I went off to college, majored in psychology, and then at that point, that's where the Lord called me, and I went into ministry as well. So I have a degree in pastoral studies and in psychology, and I've been doing music ministry now for about 22 years, but I've also been a preacher now for 15 years. And I'm not that old.
All right. Now,
my background.
Okay, one of the questions that I have for you as a life coach, what is it that you help people with?
Well, one of the things that I do, one of my mantras, so to speak, is that I always say that you are created to fulfill your grand design. And what I mean by that is that I believe that every person on this earth, past and present and even future, was created by God with a purpose on purpose, which means I'm not just this blob. I'm not just this a culmination of cells and vertebrae and nerves and that are just here to do nothing. I believe that when God created each one of us, he created us with a purpose, on purpose, and to accomplish something. And one of the things I've found out is that the world is not quite what it should be when we don't do what we're supposed to do. And so that's one of the things that I really help people. I like to say that life coaching is kind of a cousin to counseling. Previously being a pastor and a minister, you do a lot of counseling. But with counseling, there's just so much other things that can go into it, and not knocking it. But a lot of time in counseling, we rehearse things over and over and over. But with life coaching, we take it from a different perspective. We find those things. We help you create goals. We help you create purpose or find purpose. And that doesn't mean those issues or problems in your life are not there. But now you change the perspective. A lot of time in counseling, we're concentrating on the problems. But in life coaching, I like to say we're concentrating on the solutions. And as those problems arise, it doesn't seem as big now because now we're going somewhere. So that's not the end all, but rather that's just a bump in the road on the way to my purpose and my destiny.
Wow, that's beautiful. And I feel the same way. I wouldn't have gotten into the business that I'm involved with, which this radio show being part of it. One of the things that it brought to mind just listening to you there was, do you think that one of the reasons why our young people are, you know, maybe feeling the way or acting out the way that they're acting is because they don't believe or no one's ever told them that they have a grand purpose or know how to take that out of them? And even for adults who are just, you know, kind of, let's say, hanging around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think that is very true, because I think that a lot of the young people, a lot of them, all they've seen now are what they see is what is just around them, and what all they see is what they see on the internet or what they see in the media. The rap, the hip hop, the sad stories, the somebody done me wrong song, so to speak, and the trials of life. And a lot of times, many of them, that is all they know. so they begin to act out and they begin to project that. But what happens, I found that every time a young person, and even a grown person, but every time a person begins to get a glimpse of what's outside of what's normal for them and begins to see that, hey, the whole world doesn't revolve around my hometown. It doesn't revolve around my family. It doesn't revolve around my circumstances. There's a whole new world out there that I have yet to tap into. They begin to, it begins to expand and broaden their horizons. And so I think that that's one of the things that we really have to look at, even with young people. I was just thinking the other day, and this is powerful. This is the first time I've actually had the chance to say anything about it. You know, Martin Luther King, when he died, was in his 30s.
Wow. That's something else as a leader, you know, a major leader, not even making it to a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to think about the way that he died was through gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you go a little bit more at that point, but we have a caller on, and I want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to ask you a question here.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, caller, are you there? Hello? Okay, we have a caller from the 386 area code. I'm not familiar with that number, but a lot of times when things like this happen, all they have to do is just call right back, and we're able to hear from them.
Okay.
So now with what we're talking about with Martin, Mr. King there, what happened? I mean, what did you want to...
Well, I think the issue is that I think that because a lot of our young people, and even myself, we did not grow up in that time frame. It's a storybook. It's in the story, you know, and what happens, we don't realize that Martin Luther King would have been about 80 years old now. But
wow.
When he was doing all those major things, won the Nobel Peace Prize, he was in his early 30s. And so, understand, that means that the activism and the purpose in life has to start really in your teens. It start preparing you. And when you're getting 18, 19, 20, 21, it's time for you to start getting on that course because you have a lot to do. I mean, just imagine with all what he did in those few years as an adult, imagine if he would have lived into his 80s now. Imagine what he would have been 78, I believe. But imagine what he could have done had he lived, starting that earlier. So I think that what we have to do is try to grab these young people and grab people, even if they're not young, and say, hey, look, you have a purpose. Find your purpose, whatever it is. Whatever's in you that comes easy for you, whatever your passion is, let's take that and let's put some energy behind it so you can accomplish what you were sent in for.
Yeah, I think that when people do know that, I mean, there's an uneasiness among people, whereas they don't feel that they're really moving forward or doing what their life is designed for. And you have a lot of frustration, and it comes out in, you know, many different ways besides just relationships and among other things. But, it you know, there should be a class or, you know, maybe taught in school that, you know, where you can just sit down and say, hey, if you could do anything or you wanted to be anything, you know, what would it be and how would you go about doing it? Because something like that would get people to start thinking, you know, imagining, you know, if it was a perfect world, how would you go about it? Because you might be able to get that spark from that point to kind of lead you to what your life's purpose is. And it all starts with our youth.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things that even with the youth, and I even want to speak to those that are not so young like myself anymore, that even if you have spent a lot of time still trying to find out, it's never too late. It is never too late. Because what I found, and this is something interesting, that what I found a lot of times, those dreams and those visions that we have as a child, those desires, those goals that we set very innocently as a child, I want to be this, I want to be that, a lot of times things, circumstances come along and, you know, kind of knock those out of the way. But a lot of times everything comes full circle. And so those are things that God put in us, those things that we dream about doing that we can't get rid of. It's in our DNA. For instance, if you know, and I tell people a lot of times, what's in you? because what's in you is may not be what's in me. I can't do, you know, I can't draw. Now, when it comes to music and all that kind of stuff, I'm very artistic. But when it comes to drawing or painting, I am completely have no skills at all. So that's not something I can do. But then there's somebody here that's listening right now that, you know, you have paintings, you have drawings that you've just done just, you know, sitting around the house, and you look at them as not being worth anything. But what you don't realize is that those things have a value. They have worth. All you need to do is work it. So if I can just take what I have in me, I don't have to, whether I have a degree or not, whether I have the skill sets or not, or chalk training or certification, I can take the stuff that's in me, and if I can work that, it'll work.
That's powerful. That is powerful. What would you say your passion is?
My passion is simply I want to help people create, I want to help people realize what they were created for, to fulfill their grand design. In other words, my goal is, whether it's through the church and whether it's outside of the church, my goal is to help people find that thing, whatever thing it is that is their passion, that's their goal, that even may seem so far away, but it's something that they keep thinking about, they keep dreaming about, they keep writing notes about, they keep researching about. Those things are finding that, because when they find that thing, what's going to happen, they're going to find happiness. And when I say happiness, I mean really from the perspective of joy and wholeness in life, because they're going to be doing what they love, and what they love is really what they were sent here to do.
Wow.
And so that's what I do. And so I do it through traditional means, through the church, but also I do it through my life coaching and motivational seminars and the motivational speaking from young people in the schools and the colleges to older people, just helping them find that thing. And it's nothing better than to see that face light up like a 1,000-watt bulb when a person realizes, I did it, I hit it, I found it. You know, I train ministers or the people who are called into ministry, I train them, and it's nothing like seeing them that first time they preach. It's nothing like seeing them,
wow,
you know, the first time that they do something ministerial. It is a look, it's a feeling that cannot ever be duplicated, ever.
That has to be touching to, you know, be able to, you know, see something that like you planted a seed, and just to watch that seed grow, you know, right before your eyes, and then able to go on and produce the same type of fruit. I mean, I can see that you're passionate about what you're doing, and I think that, you know, some of the topics that you just touched upon, which dealt with passion, is that's what a person would have to find in order to know what their life's purpose is what they're most passionate, what really moves them. And it seems as if that's one of the things that you bring out. What would you say was the hardest part about when you started your business, or when you were led to believe that this was your life's path that you came across?
Well, I think the most difficult thing was, I'll say it like this, I'm a multi-talented person, and I don't say that to brag. I'm just very talented, and so I can do a lot of different things. And so in wanting to help people, I had to find I could not do everything.
Right.
You know, I'm a musician, I'm a worship leader, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm this, I'm that. So I had to find, okay, what can I do? And so what happened was I was a little frustrated because I found myself at one point kind of being a master of all, well, jack of all trades, master of none.
Right.
And so what ended up happening was I read a scripture where Paul said, forgetting those things behind, I'm reaching for those things that are ahead. But before that, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. Okay, I haven't arrived yet, but he said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. And a lot of people just get to that forgetting those things that are behind. But what stuck with me that day was when he said, but this one thing I do. Yeah, this one thing I do. And so what you have to do is find, when I found that this one thing that I do, everything else stems from that. And so I'm able to find success in the one thing I do. And all the other things that I can do stem out of that. But it all goes back to that one thing, helping people find who, what their purpose is and destiny, create, you know, what they were created for, to fulfill their grand design. And so when I got that, everything else just came right into place. So my difficulty wasn't a matter of finding investors, although I need some. You know, it wasn't a matter of, you know, finding a location, everything. I know how to do all of that. It was just finding that one thing to do that could sum it all up.
Is there a website or email address that people who want to find out more about what you do and your program from, you know, all over the U.S., where can they reach you?
My website is www.robertcarpenter.org. Real easy. Robert Carpenter, C-A-R-P-E-N-T-E-R, robertcarpenter.org. And everything that I do is on there, from my churches, to my life coaching, everything, you know, my motivational, you name it, everything is on there. And if they're interested in me doing life coaching or even motivational speaking or ministering and music or preaching, all that information is right there. They can go and get information on the website. That's www.robertcarpenter.org.
Robertcarpenter.org. That's great. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of people visiting there and asking for your services. Right now, I'm almost at a loss for words just thinking about the different things that you've not only accomplished and what you're working toward. Because from my understanding, you're about to expand, and you've gotten some invites from all around the world for people who are actually, you know, wanting to be a part of your program and what you're doing to help people.
I am still moved by the enormity of the World Wide Web. I've coached people that are in the UK by phone and internet. Also, we've had people that have emailed or contacted, you know, from other parts of the world, and of course around the country. But even just today, when I was checking my emails this evening, I had an invite to come to Pakistan to minister. Pakistan, of all places.
Wow.
And I said, Lord, have mercy. Phone numbers and all. And I said, Lord, now I'm really going to have to pray about this.
Right.
Because that's, you know, national security. But really, I think that one of the things I'm about to do is I'm about to embark on a tour, two, really. One, I'm going to be with another pastor doing something on called Matters of the Heart, Issues of the Flesh, straight talk about love, sex, and relationships. Yes, I said sex. A preacher talking about sex, but not from a gory, graphic way, but dealing with the things that we deal with our heart and our emotions as people, whether Christian or not. So that's one thing that we're working on now, which is setting the dates. And if you'd like us to come to your area, go to the website, let me know. But also, we're going to be doing an international tour of motivational speaking and doing seminars just to help motivate folks. You know, and one of my things that I do is I'm trying to reach the folks that necessarily don't come to church on Sunday.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean they don't love God. That doesn't mean they don't have spiritual value and
right.
spiritual worth. And so there are a lot of people that won't come to church or can't come to church. And so that's one of the things that I'm reaching. I can reach the church folk because I'm born and raised in the church. But I'm also reaching to touch, looking to touch and transform people's lives that are not the church.
Now, I understand that you're also involved with a Greater Orlando UCF chapter of Students Against Violence Everywhere, SAVE.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that in regards to, if you look in the newspapers today, you'll see that things have been happening on campuses. How can you get this word out, about Students Against Violence Everywhere so that, you know, we'll start to really consider when people are coming to us and saying, hey, you know, there's a threat, this guy might be liable to, you know, blow something up or to even, what some people say, nip that problem in the bud.
Right. Well, how that came about is about a year ago, in October of last year, at a high school right down the street from the University of Central Florida, we had a 15-year-old student that stabbed and killed another student over a girl right at the end of the school day. And so I was actually out somewhere when that happened, And when it happened, I just got so upset, and I literally just sat down at the laptop at Starbucks and just started typing, and came up with this Students Against Violence Everywhere, and it was kind of an online petition, and we had hundreds of students that signed on to it. Did not know what I was going to do with it, but I did it. In the midst of that, I found that there was a national chapter.
Wow.
And we had the same exact acronym with the same meaning. So I contacted them, and we started a chapter here in Orlando and on the campus of the University of Central Florida. And really, that was just a few months ago. And so we launched it in January, really getting it back going out. The school year is just getting started and everything. And so just really trying to make a difference. And even one of the school districts here in greater Orlando area contacted me about coming in. But interesting enough, coming in to speak to elementary school students as well as high school, middle school, and college.
That's
because
great.
If we can get them there, that could plant a seed and lay a foundation for them in the future.
Wow, and that's funny how that law of attraction works. You know, you're able to think about that, and then you get, hooked up right with the national chapter who's been doing it, and they've given you your support, and with the people who you've gotten, you know, that should be a major movement, because it's happening, you know, in grammar schools, high schools, colleges, and I think that they should get some commercials or do something. I'm gonna look into that.
Absolutely.
And see, you know, what I can possibly do on my end. You know, here in Chicago, we see violence, you know, on a daily basis. You know,
and that's one of the things and that's the thing about it, where it's just because, you know, you say it happens every day. It's just that sometimes the news only picks up certain stories, you know, every so often. But it is literally happening every day in a school somewhere in America, from elementary all the way to collegiate, you know, where there's some type of violent act that occurring. And we've got to start doing something, or we're going to end up just in a totally crazy society, which I don't know if it's not that far from there now, but we can still do something.
How did you turn your passion into a workable business? Because, you know, a lot of people, they may have the passion, but then they don't know how to get started. What was it that led you, or who did you team with, that said, you know, hey, I think we can make this work?
Well, one of the things that I did is another way you know that passion, that thing that you ought to be doing, is if you could actually do it and not make any money from it. If you could do it because of your love for it, you could do it whether you got paid or not. That's a start right there. And what I like to tell people is, don't worry about the resources. Just start doing it. Work with what you have. And what will happen is, you will begin to literally walk right into the resources. You'll walk into the people that you can connect with and network with that will help you accomplish what you're trying to do. And ultimately, what you're doing will be attracted to them. They will become, they're looking for you. So it's a mutual thing, a mutual attraction, so to speak, that happens. The second thing is, because of the World Wide Web, and because there's books all over the place, the library, Starbucks, Borders, Barnes & Noble.
Caribou Coffee.
Yeah, exactly. And what you can do is, you can actually go on the Internet. I mean, just Google whatever it is and just start there.
Wow.
You know, start getting involved with things in your community. If there's nobody in your community that's doing it, start it. You know, and it doesn't matter if it's just two of you all sitting up there. Start it. And what happens is, you'll begin to run right into it. I tell people a lot of times, I run into things, I accomplish more things by accident than I do on purpose.
Wow. And that's because you're following your purpose.
Exactly. I mean, there's some stuff sometimes I'm like, God, okay, now look, you know, because all I do is I get it in my mind and get in my spirit, I make a plan, and literally, as soon as I take the first step, it all just starts to come to.
You know, that's funny, because I have a Sunday segment, Inspirational Insights. It's a 14-part series, and it's part of a program that we have, which is our team systems concept. And the team stands for training, energy, aiding momentums, and the system is seeing your strongest talents earning more. And everything that we're talking about here kind of falls along with that team systems and how you were just mentioning, you know, it doesn't matter where you are if you don't have the money or whatever. Part of our inspirational insights was you are never broke, because a lot of people, they may think that, you know, hey, I don't have any money, you know. Or you're like, hey, let's go do this. Or, you know, I wish I could do this, but I'm broke. So what I did was I took that word broke and really examined it and saw how negative it was. So to put a twist on that in our inspirational insights, what we did was we took the letters and changed it to build regardless of known environment.
Okay.
Because
if
you just say, hey, I'm broke, you know, and you don't, and that's it, that's, you know, that's it all, you're basing everything on money. But everybody knows and everybody has heard that the best things in life are free.
Uh-huh.
So if you're just looking at where you are today and just say, hey, I'm not going to do anything, I'm telling you, as you are, you know, build regardless of known environment, because that's the only way that you're going to change your environment.
Exactly. And I think one of the things that, you know, I think what people have to realize is, like you say, stop talking about what you don't have, but look at what you do have.
Right.
And work that, you know, and you'll be surprised how valuable that is, what you do have.
Well, you know, and I was looking at your name and just listening to you and thinking about what you're doing. You know, your last name is Carpenter. And as a lot of us know, and you've heard that, you know, Christ was also a carpenter. But a carpenter is, you know, someone that builds. You can have nothing, but you're going to make something in that area. You're going to fill that space. And it's funny that your passion is building people. That's something that's out of your space.
And you know what's so funny was when I was born, that wasn't my name. My name changed when I got adopted.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Wow.
So even that just shows you even the importance of your name sometimes will help
right.
you realize exactly what you're called to do.
That's great. You know, the thing that really disappoints me is that, you know, when I have people on such as you and we start talking and time flies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have 2 minutes left, and I wish we had another 30 minutes, because I know that we can, you know, really accomplish a lot more and talk about the things that you're doing and how you're helping people. RobertCarpenter.org, www.robertcarpenter.org. I'm definitely going to really, you know, look into it and see everything that you're saying, because, you know, what I have to do is peruse through, you know, all of the information that comes at me when I'm going to interview a guest, so that I won't just be, you know, out there stuck.
Right.
Is there anybody you'd like to thank while we're going down to our last minute?
Well, I'd like to thank, of course, the Lord, who has just given me so, entrusted me with so many different gifts, but I also want to thank God for my parents, who have always pushed me and loved me, even when I made mistakes or they thought I was crazy, they still loved me and gave me support. Also, I have to thank my fiance and my kids, because, you know, I know sometimes they're like, oh, my God, what is he doing now? And so I'm kind of hyper. But also thank God for my pastor, Bishop Eddie Long, out of Atlanta, Georgia, and my former pastor, Bishop Harold Calvin Ray. And like I said, and just the family, those who constantly read my blog, email me, call me for prayer, pray for me, you name it. I'm just thankful to everyone
right.
for their support.
And with that said,
I'm gonna see who I am.
You're right. With that said, make sure you guys listen in on our next ThinkBigRadio.com interview. And if you're in any kind of trouble out there, you need to go to RobertCarpenter.org, see what he has for you. And I'm going to leave you with a song. And this song basically says it all.
Down, but we get up.
Thanks for thinking
we
big.
Fall down, but But we get up, we fall down, but we get up, oh yes. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down, but we couldn't stay there and got up. Say now,
we fall down,
oh,
but we get up.
Back up.
We fall down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we get up.
Back up.
We fall down.
Oh, my, my, my.
We get,
my.
Up.
We get back up again. Yeah.
For a saint is just a sinner.
Oh, yes, we are.
Down.
But we can't stay there. There's a seed of righteousness inside of us. Oh,
we fall.
Stay now.
But we get
back up again.